And welcome back to the A&O Career Insights podcast. This is episode number 5 of the podcast series, hosted by me, Danielle Viner, from the training events team in London. In this episode, I will be sitting down with Jantine van Rentegem. Jantine is a financial crime and sanctions lawyer in the Business Acceptance Unit, which is referred to as the BAU. She's been at the firm for nearly 3 years now. She's about to head off on maternity leave, so I wanted to try to catch her before she goes. Welcome, Jantine. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm very excited about this.
I'm excited.
I wanted to start by acknowledging that your role involves some very confidential decisions that you may not be able to talk about in much detail, but it would be really good if we could focus on some of the generalities of the role and the impact on the business. So could you please just introduce yourself and give me a bit of an overview about your time at the firm so far, and also just clarify what the BAU stands for?
Of course. So my name is Jantine. I'm an in-house lawyer within the BAU, the Business Acceptance Unit, and I specifically sit within the Financial Crime and Sanctions team, and I've been in this role at the firm for 2.5 years now. So as I mentioned, what we refer to as the BAU is the Business Acceptance Unit, and any new matters or clients that are requested by partners will come through our department first, and our different teams will be able to perform their specific checks. These can be conflicts checks, anti-money laundering checks, sanctions checks, other background checks, on which basis we do a risk assessment and then decide whether we're able to take on the specific work or client. And within that, I am one of the teams who does a specific financial crime, so mostly AML, and then sanctions analysis as well.
Okay, very interesting. And will, when there's new business, will it always come from the partners, or can it come just directly? Someone needs lawyer support and they'll just Google and A&O will come up and they'll just approach the firm directly?
So I've seen requests come from someone directly, but it wouldn't come into the BAU from an individual
right.
or firm. They would probably reach out to a specific associate or partner sitting within the department that they would need help with, and then it would be forwarded to us by that partner.
And would the BAU only be approached for new clients, or is it any kind of new business matter?
It is any kind of new matter. So whether it's a matter for an existing client or a matter for a new client. So we would then run our analysis on the specific scope of the matter we are being asked to assist with. And if it's a new client, we'd obviously have to run them through all of our new client checks. If it's an existing client, depending on when the last time was that we reviewed them and did our checks on them, we might need to rerun checks on them as well.
Okay. And then obviously, without going into kind of any confidential detail, what would you be kind of looking out for? Or what are some of the red flags you'd be looking for? Like, what things would crop up where you'd just be like, no, we can't engage with this?
Sure. So we would be looking out for any factors that might increase the risk of us taking on that new business. And we do that by running our specific checks. As I said, we have all the different teams who kind of look into different elements. And then we try to form a picture on which basis we are able to understand who this client is, who they are ultimately owned by, making sure that there are no conflicts or other factors which would inhibit us from doing the specific work. So the red flags we'd be looking out for are things like high-risk jurisdictions, high-risk industries, politically exposed persons, any adverse media we pick up, or any reputational issues surrounding the client or the matter.
Who are kind of your key relationships within the firm? Is it, do you work on a lot of deals with the same partners, or is it always kind of new people that you're working with?
It's a mix of both. There's definitely obviously the usual suspect that we'll see in our inbox, you know, multiple times a day or a week. But there's also new work always coming in from different jurisdictions, different offices. And I think that's the fun thing, that you are quite connected to your colleagues, not just the ones in London, but the ones more globally. The BAU does sit across different time zones as well. So we have people working in Singapore, in New York, in Belfast, and in Australia as well. So we provide a kind of round the clock service. So we do touch upon, you know, all the different jurisdictions as well. So most of our interactions will be with the specific deal teams and associates and partners who reach out to us on a kind of daily, weekly basis.
So obviously it must be quite a high pressure role. You're ensuring that all new business that's accepted is complying with the firm's commercial objectives and legal obligations. How do you handle that sort of pressure? And do you find that's the kind of identifying that risk level weighs on you personally, or are you quite good at sort of going home and, you know,
switching off?
Yeah.
I think definitely you gain more confidence the longer you do it. I mean, I would say it definitely impacts you and maybe even makes you a little bit paranoid, because, you know, the repercussions are quite serious if for the firm, if anything is missed, or if we do any type of work that breaches any global, you know, regulatory laws or regulations. So, you know, it is the consequences can be quite severe. Luckily, as I said, we do have a lot of eyes on each individual thing that passes through. It's not just kind of one person. It's a lot of people working together, people with, you know, years of expertise and experience. And we have, you know, very robust kind of checks and assessments in place to make sure that we catch out anything that could provide a risk. I think a lot of us are definitely in the habit of, you know, checking and double checking and really making sure that we get it right. But I definitely think that kind of you do start to recognize patterns and you will become more confident making certain decisions throughout your time, and the more you've seen and the more experience you have. And, you know, luckily I don't personally make the final decisions most of the time, so that does take some of the pressure off.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess it is like with anything, isn't it? You learn on the job.
Definitely.
Now, I appreciate you may not be able to go into detail, but could you possibly shed some light on how the Russian invasion of Ukraine has impacted business acceptance and sanctions?
Sure. I mean, just generally, you know, what happened is that we went from doing mostly preemptive sanctions checks, you know, making sure that we weren't caught by anything, not taking anything on that was breaching any global sanctions laws, kind of on a day-to-day running sanctions analyses, which were, I guess, less urgent or lower risk. That was kind of, you know, our model of our sanctions work, and that changed to kind of actively putting out fires, you know, every single day, really trying to keep on top of and keep track of the constantly changing laws and regulations. After February 2022, we really had to make sure in real time that the firm wasn't breaching any global sanctions laws, both in terms of existing clients and matters, because of course we had, you know, existing business with Russia, as well as in terms of new clients and matters that were coming up. So I would say that in the last 2 years, the sanction side of things has definitely changed. And we are in a lot of ways still dealing with the aftermath of the Russian invasion into Ukraine.
Wow, that must keep you very busy.
It does. It really does.
But yeah, it's difficult because it's like an ever-changing situation, isn't it? And I guess you must be seeing the impact of Gaza and Israel as well.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this job is that it really does follow the news. So when a new event happens, you will see it reflected in the sanctions laws. So the way that, you know, the Russia-Ukraine situation really changed the sanctions landscape, so do other things. Same with Israel and Gaza. You know, we've seen designations on Hamas as well as designations on West Bank settlers. Same with situation in Sudan, in Zimbabwe, in Venezuela, Haiti. You know, you can watch the news and get a pretty good sense of what will follow in terms of sanctions designations after. And that's what keeps it interesting as well, is that it is so real time. You know, it is constantly changing. And that's what really keeps it interesting, because you can kind of start preempting what's coming. And on the flip side of that as well, when things go better again, eventually, designations can disappear, regimes can disappear as well. So it does really evolve with the time.
It must be, I mean, you must have processes of staying on top of that, because something that you might have accepted a year ago could be declined now, right?
Absolutely. So we do apply ongoing monitoring to all of our clients and matters as well, to make sure that we would catch out anything that changes. We also make sure every time the law changes to update our policies and our internal processes, so that everyone is up to date with the latest kind of factors to check things against.
Wow. so many moving parts, so much changing.
Constant. Yep.
Relentless. And then in terms of the partners that you work with, would you say partners see the value of the BAU, or do you feel that they perceive it as slowing down new business opportunities?
I would hope that they realize that we're not saying no just for fun. As I mentioned before, if we do decline work, it is because there is a very thought through reason why it wouldn't be advisable for the firm to take it on. As I said, any risk analysis we do will go through multiple steps of referral and escalation. So really multiple people at differing levels of experience and seniority will have considered our position. So if we do say no, we hope that the partners trust that it's because it wouldn't be in the firm's best interest to pursue that opportunity.
Right. No, that makes sense. That's good. And then in terms of your career trajectory, I remember you telling me a while ago you studied law, obviously. Were you ever at a kind of crossroads of what area of law to go into?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had no idea when I started my legal journey. You know, you in this country, at least, you start studying law at 18. You know, you're so young. You might think, you know, oh, I want to be a lawyer, but I don't think you really realize what that means at that point.
Yeah.
Or what you mean by that specifically yourself. So I went into law thinking I would kind of specialize in human rights. I always thought I would do the kind of more noble thing. I then halfway through found myself really interested in intellectual property law. So I went on to pursue a master's in that, worked in that for a bit, and then kind of really just rolled into compliance work. And then eventually found my niche in financial crime and sanctions. So it's really not been a kind of straight path. It's just been going with what made sense at the time and what I was interested in at the time. And yeah, I eventually ended up here.
Wow. And you never look back.
No, not really. Not really. Because wow, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. Yeah.
It's so good to hear that when people say they found their niche.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be this, but it ended up being this. So I'm, you know, very, very grateful.
Yeah, and I think when I've spoken to some of the more junior lawyers, I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it the sort of thing where if you commit, say, to a department, say corporate or banking or in-house, it's quite hard to move after that point, isn't it?
Or I think
is
it gets
can you
I think, I mean, you can always move, I guess. You know, if you really want to, you can always make something happen. But I think it becomes harder also the longer
once
that
you
you've been in something,
yeah.
or the more kind of niche you go, it would probably be difficult. I think for me, I went from quite broad to more and more specialized. So I think that also helped in terms of I could kind of just drop things to get where I was rather than add things on. So I think that might have made it easier. But yeah, I mean, in terms of obviously in-house, the way that it works in-house versus private practice, there's a difference there as well.
Yeah. Okay. And if I told you 15 years ago that you'll be a financial crime and sanctions lawyer, would you have believed me?
And I would have believed you because why would you lie? But I would have been very confused and probably very curious to see how I eventually ended up there. And I definitely would have had to Google what sanctions are. That's for sure.
What did, I don't know, 15-year-old you want to be?
So interestingly, I was the person who always wanted to be a lawyer. I always wanted to be a lawyer. I knew I wanted to study law. Looking back, I think it was probably because I watched too many like courtroom dramas and thought, you know, being a lawyer is very like glamorous and exciting. Obviously,
and
not even
it?
realizing. Yes, in a different way. You know, at that point, I wouldn't even have realized that, you know, there's a difference between solicitors and barristers. You know, I didn't end up in court in the end either. So I definitely always knew that I was interested in pursuing a legal career, being a lawyer, but I guess what that actually meant to me, I just had to find out while doing it and along the way.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's great to see how much you love it and how passionate you are.
I think you can't, you have to be probably to really enjoy your job and to stick with it. And I think especially something like what we do, like I was saying, it is so dynamic and ever changing. So you do really have to try and keep up with things. You know, you have to keep reading and learning and kind of developing your skills, right? You can't just kind of sit back and be passive. And that is what I love about it as well. But you do have to have a real interest to want to do that, I guess.
No, for sure. And what do you love about the role at A&O specifically? Because you could do your job anywhere, couldn't you?
Yeah, that's true. Different firms would have the same type of functions. I mean, what I love about our specific team is that we have people in this team who've been here for over 20 years, who have such, you know, experience and expertise in their fields, who I've been able to learn from and continue to learn from. I think that really makes a difference, you know, seeing that they are still passionate and interested after all this time really kind of motivates you as well as a more junior member in the team. And we also all just really get along within the department, which also really helps. So I think, you know, you can't speak to what it would be like in a different place, but I think for me, on top of just enjoying the role itself, I've just really enjoyed my time within the team, within the department, within the firm. Everyone I've met, everyone I've dealt with has been so friendly, supportive, encouraging, professional, and that, yeah, that really, really helps as well.
It really is the people that makes it. That's
definitely
what I would say. That's what I love about this place. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just so friendly. And I think it really speaks to the firm's culture.
No, I definitely agree. You know, everyone I've dealt with, paralegals, associates, partners, you know, everyone's just friendly and respectful and professional. And, you know, we're all trying to work together towards the same goal, right? And I think that really creates that kind of collegiate feeling.
100%. And obviously you are currently pregnant.
I am.
Which is very exciting. And if your baby tells you when it's a little bit older, well, unborn, that it wants
first,
to grow up and be a lawyer, would you support that or advocate for it? Or would you be like, no, too stressful?
It's a very good question, especially since my husband is also a lawyer. I think I would support my child in whatever they want to do, as long as I feel like they have thought through their reasons for wanting to pursue a certain path. So if I feel like they have a genuine interest and passion for being a lawyer, and they don't just think that it's their only option looking at their parents, then no, I would definitely support them. And definitely, you know, be there to kind of talk things through with them and kind of, you know, have them, make them understand also from the beginning that there's a lot of different ways of being a lawyer, becoming a lawyer, you know, putting a legal degree to good use. You know, there's not just one path. And I think, you know, because my own path has been quite, you know, squiggly, I think I'm a kind of a good person, you know, for them to look at it, to see how, how things can also be done, and that there's not just one way. So if we get to it, I would support them, but we definitely have a lot of conversations.
Yeah. Oh, you'll be a great role model, 100%.
Thank you.
And I'm sure he's destined to be a very clever kid.
Hope so.
What would you like to see more from private practice lawyers when you interact with them?
I think what I'd like to see is a kind of a curiosity from their side to understand why we are asking certain questions, why we are drawing certain conclusions. I think it would help them from their side to understand our thinking patterns and the things that we look at when we're considering taking on new clients or matters. As I said before, I think it would help for them to know that, you know, we're not just making things up or saying yes or no, you know, just on a whim. There's processes and regulations and, you know, a lot of different factors behind every decision that we make. So I think a curiosity to understand what those things are would really help them also preempt any issues that might come up when they are looking at taking on a new matter.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think the wider context is always so important for why we make the decisions we make.
Definitely.
Also, I guess the more that they learn, the more they'll probably know off the bat whether something would be accepted or maybe have more of a better inclination.
Exactly. I think that would, you know, save time and effort as well on their part if they can kind of look already at what they're taking on kind of through that lens.
What do you find the most challenging aspect of your role?
I would say kind of the thing I enjoy the most is probably also what makes it the most challenging, which is that it is constantly changing. So it is really something that you can't really turn off. You know, like even, you know, it doesn't stop whether there's, you know, it's not because it's 5:30 or because it's a weekend that things just kind of drop or end. Things keep moving, things keep turning. Sometimes, you know,
the law
big
doesn't abide
new...
by a 9-to-5.
No, it really doesn't. You know, sometimes massive sanctions, packages are dropped on a Friday afternoon, you know, with regulations that have changed. With things that might really affect our business. So we can't just say, okay, well, we'll wait until Monday. You know, that's just not going to fly, because if there is something in there that would put us in breach, then it's not an excuse for us to say, oh, but it came on a Friday afternoon and we looked at it on Monday. So
sorry, I had work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's kind of, just making sure that you constantly stay on top of things is definitely a challenge. But as I said, we have, you know, a lot of people across different time zones, and we are also used to things like that. So we do have a good process in place for things like that as well. It's just knowing that it doesn't stop and kind of keeping an eye out for things all the time.
I think it's so hard because with any job, there's always more you can do. Like, I mean, even when you log off at, I don't know, 6 or 7 or whenever, 10, it's always like a case of you probably could keep working. There's always more that you could probably do, right? I mean, that's what's so hard.
Definitely. Yeah, it doesn't stop. There's no
finding
time.
That balance. Yeah.
For sure.
Wow.
But as
okay.
I said, you know, luckily we have a lot of different people working in different offices, so we are able to tag team and work in shifts and take over from each other, and that definitely really helps with keeping it manageable.
That was amazing. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
I honestly feel like I understand so much more about the BAU, your role as an in-house lawyer, and how risk is mitigated within the firm. Just a reminder that you can find other episodes of this podcast series on Spotify under Allen and Overy Launch the Careers Podcast. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on the A&O Careers Insights Podcast.